at the Midwest Magic Jubilee here on day three. This is the final day of the convention. And we had just finished with Dirk Losander's excellent lecture. And I'm here with past international president of the International Brotherhood of Magicians, Mike Stroud. Hello, Mike.
Hello, everybody.
And also then with the secretary. And I'm not talking about the international secretary, Don Weibert, but this is the actual real secretary who does the real work at the headquarters, Cindy Richardson. Hey, Cindy.
Hi.
Now, Cindy also, you might recognize the last name Richardson. Of course, we talked with Terry yesterday, who is the organizer and president, I guess, of the organization. And been doing this for a number of years, but I want to talk with both you guys just about the IBM, since that this is the central headquarters. You've been the secretary for what now, about 12 years, or how long?
No, since 2005.
Five, okay. Boy, time sometimes seems like it moves.
Yeah. Seems like a lot longer.
A lot longer, that's right. Doing time, so you've only done 7 years there so far. And you enjoying it?
Oh, I love it.
I wanted to ask you just about, on behalf of other members out there, the IBM, about what the office is like. Tell them something about what the office is like and kind of what your duties are and kind of how they can contact you.
Okay, well, first of all, if you want to reach us, you can either call us. Our number is 636-724-2400. I'll repeat it, 636-724-2400. Or you can contact us through email, which is office@magician.org.
Okay.
That's the one.
Yeah, office@magician.org, okay.
There's three people that work in the office. I work there full-time. Then I have two assistants, and Debbie works 3 days a week. She works Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Nancy works 2 days a week on Tuesday and Thursday. And what we do, basically, is process the renewals, all of the new membership packets. We sent out the Order of Merlin certificates for anybody that didn't come to the convention. That received an award this year. We sent those all out. They just recently went out. The last ones went out this week. So if you haven't gotten yours, you will be getting it.
Okay.
If you haven't received your linking ring for whatever reason, or if it comes damaged, if you contact us, we'll send it out, resend it to you.
Okay. Nationally or internationally, I guess.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
definitely.
Wherever.
Yes.
All right. So you keep a backlog of all past. So if somebody's wanting to do some research or they say they need another copy of something from 1983 or something, okay?
Right, as long as we have it. There are a couple of years that we've run out. Like, for some reason, July is a big issue that we seem to run out of a lot of time. So if you contact me for maybe, I know off the top of my head, October of 2006, we no longer have any of those. But other months or years, if you contact us, we'll have it probably and be able to get it out to you. Or if you've lost your new member pin, we can replace that. We usually just charge $5 plus postage. If you want extra copies above what you normally receive, we'll mail those out for $5 an issue.
Okay. And if somebody's wanting some regalia, now is that handled outside, or do you handle, in other words, they want like you talk about the pen, but I was thinking about patches or T-shirts or hats or whatever like that. Is that something separate, or can they order that directly from you?
No, that's something that they can do off the website. We do have occasionally people that will contact us because they don't do the website or they don't do online, so they can send a check to the office and we'll forward it on. But Kirk Deweese out of Kansas does that.
That's what I was thinking, that that's separate someplace else so they should contact him.
Right.
Okay, but you can put them in touch, I guess.
Yes.
But if there is something, for an example, I guess a lot of times they would contact the office saying that they want to know about whether the membership is still valid, or they want a list of members in an area or something. You can provide that.
That is correct, yes. If a ring contacts us and they want members that are don't belong to their ring, but that are within the area,
right,
we can send them a list so that the ring can contact those members to try to get them to join their ring.
What's the most popular request that you receive? What do people most often call about? Say, hey, I need this or that.
Well, we get a lot of calls for people that want to renew, and we will do that over the phone for them if they're paying by credit card. I get requests for people that want help with accessing the IBM portal because they can't remember their password, or maybe they've never done it and they're having
trouble
issues
trying to
with
get
it.
On, right.
I will help them, walk them through that. We also get calls about how many years have I been a member? When will I receive my Order of Merlin?
Mm-hmm.
Can I purchase my back years?
in this was the office was moved to St. Louis, and you were the first secretary, you know, here, because it was in Canton, Ohio, I think, is that right, until 2005?
No, it's been in St. Louis for quite some time.
Darlene Eves was, I'm sorry, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was, that's, I guess that's what I was thinking for the 12 or more years back, because she was here for a number of years.
Right.
That's right, then, too.
Before
Darlene?
There was a Teresa?
Teresa, somebody.
So she was in St. Louis, too.
Right, boy, I'd forgotten that had gone back that far, then, too. And Mike, I was going to talk with you as well on the IBM, since that you are co-convention chairman again this year. Is that right, you and Bill Wells?
That's correct, yes.
And so we just came off a successful convention in Norfolk, and then the next one's planned for next year for Phoenix. Anything you can tell us about what's coming up?
Right now it's a little early as far as what's coming up. I think Phoenix will be great. It's a very convenient town, for one thing. It's very close to the airport. You can get to the hotel in about 5 minutes from the airport.
Wow. What's the hotel hosting it?
It's the Hyatt, downtown Hyatt. And then the theater's about 2 blocks away, so it's within good walking distance. Mm-hmm. Of course, we would have transportation for people that can't navigate their way down there by foot, so we'll provide some transportation, but we don't plan to bus everybody. Another nice thing about Phoenix is, I'm not sure if I have the right name, but anyway, one of the University of Arizona campuses, the medical campus, is right downtown.
Yes.
So it makes it a younger and more vibrant type area, and it also stimulates a lot of the restaurants staying open. A lot of times when we have a convention, and especially around the 4th of July, you cannot find any restaurants that are open. So, you know, you're kind of handicapped with eating at the hotel.
Right.
And we found that I think the first time we went on a site visit there, I think we were there on a Sunday, you know, we're out walking around, and you've got all these restaurants
still open on Sunday.
Right downtown. Yeah. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of conveniences in Phoenix, and I think people will love it.
And it's going to be not over the 4th of July weekend. This time it's going to be coming up, isn't it, like the 11th through the 17th or
14th? 17th through the 20th.
17th through 20th of July of next year.
A little bit later. Right?
Yeah. So we're not going to have to compete or have the holiday
that's
involved
correct.
In there.
Yeah. And we do have the $99 rate. Hyatt,
great, still.
Still $100.
It's a heck of a deal.
It is.
You know, I mean, you think about how the economy has changed and everything seems to have gone up, and yet the hotel rates have still remained under $100. That's great.
So we hope everybody can make it. I think we will have some extraordinary acts because we're close to Phoenix, and I mean, close to Las Vegas and California. Normally when you're on the western half of the United States, you're going to pull a lot of people from those areas.
Mm-hmm.
So I think our attendance will be up, and I think, you know, we'll be able to work some negotiations to get some good acts booked from those areas.
And, of course, this is the home of Michael Finney. And he's been helpful, I guess, and instrumental in helping to promote the event.
Michael's been a big help. I think there will be a page in the Lincoln Ring coming up with Michael featured on it. We've already made the decision. We sell the Share the Magic pins. I think money is going to be donated to his
foundation.
So Michael will be great and a great band leader to have for us there.
So. Very much so. And he typically had, well, this past year, or this year, just a few weeks ago, he had the 16th annual Dry Heat Classic, and I understand that he's going to be hosting this just the week after the convention. So those of you who might be wanting to make your plans now to attend the IBM convention in Phoenix next year might plan on extending it a bit longer so this way that you can help his foundation play a round of golf.
Right, and I'm sure Michael would appreciate that. And I guess the other thing, if you haven't, a lot of people from the eastern states may not, you know, get out west that much. But if you come to Phoenix, you need to go visit Sedona. You need to go see the Grand Canyon.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a lot to do out there. And It's gorgeous country. You get up in the Red Rock country, it's just beautiful. And people need to do that. And they say they could stay for Michael's golf tournament. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm sure he'd love to have a cheering section of magicians around for that.
There are a lot of things to see and do around there, certainly museums and outdoor gardens and botanical things. There was one thing, my mother is still out in Phoenix, and so I go out to visit from time to time, but there's the Music Museum, which I would highly recommend that people make plans to see that.
I'm sure, we're going to pick up on that. That is one place I have not seen.
Awesome.
We'll be out there this fall, so we will go see it.
Yeah.
The last time Darlene and I were in Phoenix, we went to the Heard Museum.
Yep, that's something.
Which is all about the Native Americans.
Right.
I had no idea how many different tribes there were in the Arizona area. I mean, a lot of these tribes split off, and I mean, they have history from all the different tribes.
That reminds me, too, that, of course, there are Indian casinos out there as well.
Yes.
In and around Phoenix.
And there's a real neat thing right downtown, about 2 to 3 blocks from the hotel, that's free, and it's a Wells Fargo museum. And they've got one of the old stagecoaches in there. They've got little exhibits set up of some of the robberies of them, the good things, the bad things. They had a lot of the period dress and different items from that era. And we just happened to walk by it.
Went in, and
it was very interesting. So
very cool.
It's not a real large place, but, you can spend a half hour in there pretty easy, and like I say, it's real close to the hotel.
Sounds like fun. Well, as we're sitting here, actually, another past international president, Don Weiberg, and international secretary. Hello, Don.
Shoe shine while you wait.
A little bit of everything, all in one-stop shopping right here. They were just talking about the office over here, Cindy, as well as then the convention coming up next year. Let's get back then to the Jubilee then right now. How's everybody enjoying the convention?
Having a very good time.
Very good.
I can't ask Cindy because she, of course, has been at work at the headquarters office, especially with her boss sitting right here. So she's been hard at work over there, hasn't been attending this convention.
Notice that the ankle bracelet has the lock has been open.
That's right. Yeah.
We keep her chained to the desk.
She can't get too far.
That's right.
So what have been some highlights, Mike and Don, so far from the convention?
Well, last night's show was terrific. Very good show. Chris Capehart started it off, and I think it just motivated the audience and got everybody fired
up. Yeah, standing ovation. Yeah.
Standing ovation, and it didn't back down from there. And I know a couple of the other performers mentioned that the energy level last night was so high, but I think Chris probably established that when he opened the program.
Yep. And kind of kept that going all the way through. They were good acts all the way through.
I agree, but it begins with the MC.
Yeah, Chef Hyken did a great job.
Yeah, right, yeah, no doubt about it.
By his own admission, he said it wasn't great. And I said, I agree, it was better than good.
Yeah. No. and we've had a lot of good lectures. Of course, we just finished the one with Lo Sander, and earlier had Chris Capehart.
Another great lecture.
Yep. Had a lot of good info, just like yesterday with Michael Finney's lecture. In fact, Lo Sander was referencing his lecture, saying a piece of advice was, as you told me earlier, Don, less is more. Something to take to heart that he had. Okay, well, just to wrap, anything else over there comes to mind? It's been a lot of fun, kind of, so far. I mean, we still got a few more things to go. This afternoon, Scott Alexander's lecture, and then we have this evening's show, and then we do a wrap.
And they have close-ups start.
Oh, close-ups going to start here? Yeah. He's got a little bit longer before that.
And then the raffle. Oh, what time's the raffle?
You got your tickets and everything for that?
Yeah, I certainly have.
I got so much stuff to take back in my suitcase, I think I'm overweight as it is, with all that stuff. And then I bought that, 300 yards of rope or whatever it was
from Finney,
so I got to call that back then, too. All right, well, thank you guys very much.
Can I just say one more thing?
Yes, Cindy, yes.
If you move, please let us know your change of address as soon as possible, because if you move and you don't tell us, the post office does not forward those.
That.
Generally, they rip the cover off, send it back to us, and charge us 75 cents. So if we end up having to resend it, we have to charge you $5.
Right.
So you can avoid that by telling us ahead of time. As soon as you know it, please let us know.
Okay.
He says us. That's us in the St. Charles office.
Yes. Sorry.
It's okay. Because I get the change of addresses, too, and it just adds a delay, although they're processed promptly.
Well, and the same thing as well whenever that the officers change. I assume that you would like to know that information.
Yes, once a year,
and their
please.
Contact information, at least, annually, whenever they have the new thing. It's always, because a lot of the information that's on the website, at magician.org, for the ring officers is dated, you know, but there's some that's outdated, and so everybody needs to update what they've got.
Right, and if you don't tell the office, then we can't update it. So
exactly.
As soon as you change officers, if you let us know, we'll go ahead and go in and make that change for you.
And then for submitting the ring reports, they still go to TJ Schimmel?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. And
that's on page 4 of the linking ring.
There you go, page 4 of the linking
ring. And one more thing.
Yes, Don.
For those non-IBM members who are out there wishing to join, all they have to do is contact the St. Charles office, get an application. They no longer need to have two signatures
for
membership.
Right, right. So if you live in the middle of nowhere, or you don't have a ring near you or any other magicians.
Right, or even if you live in a heavily populated city and
exactly,
don't
wherever.
Have any friends, you can still join the IBM.
And you don't have Bergazzi, you have to sign for you.
There we go. Great. Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it. And from Midwest Magic Jubilee, this afternoon, we'll talk to you later. Scotty out. So the show's open. We're in the party over here with the dealers, and every registrant, I think, is here. I'm here with the guy who closed the show in grand style, no standard. Peyton Fentimore. Good to see you. Good job tonight.
Thank you very much.
As usual. It was very classic. Got a standing ovation, which was, of course, not unexpected. You know, you got a very beautiful act, and nice music and the touches and everything. How did you develop the music? You know, as I was listening to that, I thought, you obviously had to have had that made for you.
Yeah, I mean, when I first developed the act, I had a friend who was who was writing music for the film industry.
Yeah.
And so
in Las Vegas?
In Germany.
In Germany.
So he wrote some music, and then I changed my act into what it is now. Now 10 years went by from that on, and I went back to him. His name is Matthias. I said, "Hey, can you write for me another music?" He says, "Yeah, but the minute now is $10,000." I said, "Well, that's a little much for me, you know."
We're still friends. Give me my friend.
Make a long story short, you gave it to me to the price I paid 10 years ago. So
wow.
Yeah, so he wrote the whole music.
Now, did he record it also?
Yep.
Holy cow.
He has his own studio, and
he
played all the instruments and everything. So
it wasn't like GarageBand or something.
No,
he just put the thing together. He actually played all the instruments. Really? Wow.
Yeah, he won many film prizes and stuff on music, and so he's really a big fish in Germany.
Yeah. It's good to have friends. Because, again, hit every note, and obviously it played very well. Now, when you had him create the music, did you send him the video so that way that he can kind of see how that these things would happen at certain times?
Yeah, I sent him a video of my act, and then he basically played the music towards the act.
And that's what you would recommend if somebody's going to be doing their own act?
Absolutely, that way you have it exactly the way you want, and you have, in my act, there's all these pings, and then a bubble pops, and stuff like that, so it's all matching, you know, which kind of enhances the show, of course.
Oh, no, absolutely. It gives a perfect accent at the right points and everything.
Right.
So, obviously, that you would have to develop the act and do it and hone it, you know, get it down
exactly.
Yeah,
I did, I had different music, and then, you know, when I started to work in Vegas, it's a little bit more difficult if you don't own your own music.
Because of the ASCAP and all
exactly. Yeah. So then, once my act was finished, I said, why don't you write the music and then own it, and I can do whatever I want.
Then it's your music, and then you got the rights to it.
I even performed in TV, and I told them I own the rights to the music, but then they made their own kind of stuff to it, you know.
Well, how did that play? I mean, it didn't have the same accents. It didn't work exactly the same on TV.
It looks like, I always say, if usually TV writes some music, it looks like a cheap porn, you know?
Yeah. Fuck it down.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, interesting. So in developing your act, I know that you continued not only just with the floating tables, but you've added little accents. I know, like, the little boxes on top, as well as, of course, in the light. Have you got more ideas or new things you're working on to...
I mean, just recently I came out with this new frame I developed. It's called Los Andes Portal, and it's like a story about Houdini. It's a combination out of a levitation where also a prediction appears at the end
on a
chalkboard.
Right.
And so that's something new, and I'm constantly trying to develop new stuff.
I would think so. You know, you got to be like a shark. You have to keep moving. Oh, yeah. You just can't say, you know, got great product, and, you know, because once everybody's got it, then you got to have something else.
If you stand still, people will surpass you. You know?
That's right. Well, speaking of that, you have such a wonderful product. I know that you've been ripped off, you know, talking about some people who have done that. I understand that if people have purchased something, you give them some money towards purchasing the original. What's the deal on that?
Yeah, I used to have a program where I was trading in copies for $500 on an original.
Okay.
Yeah. But I stopped it now because I have so many copies now.
You got enough,
right?
You got a big bonfire sometime?
You know, I don't believe that people don't know that they don't that they buy a copy. At the beginning, I thought, well,
maybe they don't
want to help them out, whatever, right? But you know what? Over the years, I found out they all knew that they bought a copy. You know what? And you know what? I rather support the people who buy my original table, and then I give them special deals if they want to upgrade. Or, for instance, if you buy my original table, the lowest model is $600. You can buy it, and you can keep it as long as you want. And then when you upgrade to a better model, I trade it in even after 10 years for the full price, so you don't lose your money,
original money.
So I'd rather do that than the other stuff.
Well, not only that, I know... Well, you did this for me, and I assume that you do this for others as well. I had put my thumb through the top of it, and I sent it back, and you said, hey, I'll fix it.
Basically, you come with lifetime support.
Lifetime,
so if something happens, I will be there and fix it.
To repair it. Right. That's right. Yeah, because I was rehearsing with that. Yeah, got a beautiful starburst on the top now. It looks beautiful. It looks better than the original, you know. So, you are just a wonderful dealer as well as a nice person to get along with,
and
the quality of the products and everything that you've got. Now, this thing with Houdini, that's kind of a variation. You had a smaller one, as I recall, about a year ago or so.
You know,
it was like
a little
book or something.
Yeah, I have a floating book, too.
Yeah,
and I had a floating a box where a card appeared at the end, you know. But then I was always thinking about, you know, it would be kind of great to float like one of those spirit plates. But then I tried to kind of come up with my own idea how to do it. And then it turns out into that frame where you see the picture of Houdini. And then, you know, you kind of like pretend you're contacting the spirit world or whatever, and then they write on that slate, so it's kind of like a neat thing.
That's why I was wondering, you know, have you thought about trying to develop more types of things for spiritualists or type of shows or seances?
Yeah, I think I want to go really with the times, and mentalism, of course, is right now very big, you know, but I think what's important with all of the magic is that you are as straight to the point as possible, you know what
right.
I mean, especially mentalism, that you don't have to go through so many loopholes to get the answer, you know?
Right,
what I mean?
Yes, right. It needs to be very clear and concise that you can say it in a sentence, and this is what happened.
And
the
card
ended up on the ceiling, or the guy read my mind.
And I also strongly believe that if you're even a great mentalist, there's no need that you only have to do mentalism. If you match something like, let's say you add a floating table or whatever, to spice your mentalism a little bit up, in terms of like more visual stuff, I think it's definitely healthy. It's just like watching all night long card tricks, you know what I mean? It's sometimes better to combine it with some other tricks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And how do you come up with some of these ideas? What's your creative process?
I mean, it's totally different. I mean, the table I created by performing for the industry, and I had to float a fryer, you know, for French fries.
Okay.
I thought, well, it's not quite interesting for me to float that in front of an audience, but I did that, and then I said, well, what could I float where there's a tablecloth involved, or a cloth involved, and then I came to a table. That's it. And then I used that system I was using for the fryer for the table.
Oh, that's interesting.
So
okay.
That's how that came.
Now, when you say an industry, that was like what we call a trade show, I guess,
kind
of an exhibit. Okay.
I developed many, many effects I'm doing out of that kind of venue.
Right.
Because there was a need for something, I thought about it, and then I found out, hey, maybe, you know, other people have an interest in it.
Sure.
And start selling it.
Yeah, well, you're the master of levitation, you know, the worldwide masters who certainly do a great job, and it was a wonderful show here this evening. Doing well as a dealer, so I'm going to let you go ahead and sell some more stuff over here.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Lo Sander. And if you have any questions, you can contact Lo Sander. What's your email address or website?
It's like www.losander.com.
How can you miss them? There you go. Thanks very much again. This is Scotty out. Well, it's day three. Actually, it's into day three and the end of the show. We're about to go into a little afterglow party over into the dealer's room. But right now, I told you I would wrap up with Terry Richardson. So, Terry, here you are.
Here I am.
At the end of the convention.
It has been a hellacious 3 days here in St. Louis. And, you know, I'm glad, but I'm sad. It's over with for another year. And, man, we just walked off a great show with Michael Finney emceeing it. Low Sander closing it. Farrell Dillon.
Standing ovation. Yeah,
standing ovation on the first act. That's two nights in a row.
Yeah, after Chris Capehart left before, yeah.
The first act, and they get a standing ovation, just set the mood for the entire night. And
it's always good to play for a full house. That was pretty much full with a lot of the public. I'd say there were more than half the people were public.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And they just were rollicking.
This was great.
I'm sorry
it's been so long to get over here, but people have just been wanting to stop and talk and
congratulate you.
And, I mean, the magicians are like, you know, the pre-registrations are already going great gangbusters.
Awesome. So you better hurry and register.
Yeah, well, they're going to have till, till the end of the month, and we're going to keep that pre-registration price open at $135
till the end of the month. Okay.
Yeah. So,
And what was the spouse? Didn't you have a special deal for the...
You could bring your spouse for free right now.
Free.
So
two for one. Yeah, there you go.
Two for a cheap one.
Yeah, cheap one.
But, you know, Terry Walthall did a great job on the lighting. Eldon Rourke did a great job on the sound.
Sound, yep. And Mike backstage.
Mike Niehaus backstage.
One guy cleaning up everything, you know.
He took care of everything.
And the mess that every performer had. Snowstorms.
Well, we had a snowstorm.
Glitter, and I don't know what all.
Yeah, but, hey, it made it fun.
It really was just
an outstanding show. Ended with a standing ovation again, and the crowd loves it. That's why, you know, St. Louis, they expect good shows, and hopefully we put them on for them.
Well, being in the heart of America, you know, people come from all around. It's easy to get in and out, literally across the street from the airport over here. So,
that one person that we had up there, he drove 3.5 hours to get here.
Is that the drunk guy?
No, that was a different guy. But the guy from Potosi, he was 3.5 hours away.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He was 3.5 hours away to get here and everything. So
yeah,
it was
show.
A great time.
Yeah. I'm sure he was satisfied. Yep. Still people coming by and shaking hands.
It's just one of those things. And, we're all happy. It was a good time. The dealers are happy. Thank you very much. They just won't leave me alone.
There's magic happening all
everywhere.
Around us. Yes.
And, but you know what happens now?
Do it all over again.
Well, we got to tear it all down before we can do it all over again.
You got to be out of here before noon tomorrow.
We've got to tear we build everything here, so everything's got to be torn down. We've got to curtains, fold them, and then tear the stage down.
How long is it going to take to tear down Brigadoon here?
Actually, they'll have the lights and sound and curtains down tonight, and then we'll take the stage down tomorrow morning, and everything will be done, ready to go, and hopefully by noon.
Now, where do you store all that stuff?
Well, we have a storage space that we put most of it in.
And then you use it for your shows, as you said earlier?
No, I don't use it for my shows, okay. No, I just use I unload all the illusions out of my trailer, and I've got a 24-foot trailer. We put everything in and haul it around during Jubilee time. So it's,
So they just store it, and then next year they bring it back out again and do it all over again. Well, this is going to be, another memorable one to put down in history of number 56.
Number 56.
And counting.
Down in the books.
Yep.
And next year we're going to be, you know, kind of a week later, August, the weekend of August 15th. And so if you want to register, now's the time.
And the website?
Website is www.mmjubilee.com.
That's it. Very good, Terry. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
For being one of the people to join the throng, saying great job, a lot of fun. This is just a nice kind of camaraderie, you know, a lot of fun and a lot of good substance also. The lectures and all the people here, it's a lot of fun.
We have a lot of professionals that come to the
hang out.
Thing, you know. And I can remember I asked Bill Malone one year, I said, why do you come? He says, because you guys are friendly. Mm-hmm. You are the most friendliest convention I've ever been to. Mm. And he says, it's fun to come.
Yeah. So you guys need to be here next year. You missed out. But those of you who are listening to this and who have attended, you're reliving that experience and remembering what a great time that you had here at the Midwest Magic Jubilee, 56th, 2012. That was Terry Richardson. Thank you, Terry, again. Appreciate it. Scotty out.